Well, okay, here we are, the very first episode of the Aycliffe Running Club podcast. I'm very excited for this, even though it was only last week that I came up with the idea, but here we are. To those who are listening for the first time and may not know who I am, my name's Corey Horn, one of the younger members of the adult section. I've been a member probably since about mid-2019. So since I've got a lot of time on my hands, for obvious reasons, I thought I'll start this podcast. The idea is very simple. I've kind of nicked Paul's weekly big question and hopefully create a more of an in-depth conversation around it. And hopefully we get some of the great personalities, as I've got on here today, from the club. And maybe we'll go see what we get from it. As you can tell, it's the first time doing this. So
what have I done?
What have we all done? What have we got ourselves into? So first of all, I'm going to introduce my co-host, a man I know very well. I'm sure we all know very well, especially if you've been involved in the North East running community for a long time. He's a past parkrun director and a current coach at the club. It's Mr. Paul Dalton. Paul, how excited are you about this podcast we've started?
I think it's a fantastic idea. I think it's a great opportunity for us to communicate further with the club. We've got a lot of ideas for subjects coming up, but if anyone else has got ideas, of course we're, you know, more than welcome to hear them and happy to try and put something together for them.
So today's two unlucky guests, it's Mr. John Burnside and Mr. Rob Nicholson. So John, I'll go to you first. How are you, John? And how excited are you for this podcast, or nervous?
Well, apprehensive, I think, to be honest. I was just wondering why you've got the two oldest members of the club who haven't a clue what they're doing about the podcast, Corey. But I'm sure it'll be fine.
Well, there's a reason for that, because the today's topic is the history of the club. So I thought, why not get two of the original members on? And the other one, Rob, who's just figured out how to use Skype. How are you, Rob?
Well, I'm fine. Thank you, Corey. I'm quite looking forward to this, I think.
Aren't we all? So, first obvious question I'm going to ask you guys. I'll start with you first, John.
Right.
How did the club start back in 1983? And can you kind of give us a flavour of some of the barriers you may have had to overcome to get the club up and running?
Yeah, well, the first I heard about it, I'd been running for a couple of years. Obviously, I started when the Great North Run first start in 81, and that started me running. And after that, I'd been running a bit, Rob as well, and some other lads we knew were doing like other events like Flymo Half Marathon and other ones who were just starting at the time. And but the Aycliffe Running Club come about with, it was Rob's next door neighbour who put us onto it. He was one of four people who got together, I think, after the second Great North Run and start talking about forming a club. And three of them were from Aycliffe and one lived at Camden. And then they just arranged a meeting. And I think Rob went to the first meeting. And from then on, our very first session, we met at the rec centre steps. And there was only a few of us. And that's when we started on a cold Tuesday night in January. We all just met there and went for a run, and it was very informal. Started from there. There was no proper coaching. We just ran and loved it. And the club started from there and built up throughout the year. So that's how I got started into it, you know, and from there we just grew and grew and had our first coach. Chris White came along in about September, October time. And we had a bit of structure to the club. Eventually, I think later on that year, might have been earlier the year after, we moved to Woodham and we started training from there. We used the track in the summer and we trained in the hall, did circuits in the hall in the winter time, and they were great sessions. So, yeah, so it just went from there and built on, got bigger and bigger. So it was good.
Sounds brilliant. How many first came to the club in that first session?
I thought there was about eight, maybe a dozen at the most, wasn't there, Rob? There wasn't many.
I think there was eight of us, John.
Yeah, yeah. Because when you think back then, you know, there was obviously no social media. It was just word of mouth. It got people interested. And then later on, maybe there might have been an advertisement in the Newton News. But then it built up very quickly once people knew we were going. So, you know, it's obviously with the Great North Run, and London Marathon had been about for a couple of years. So it was really the first running boom then. So everybody was into it. And so we did. We had some good members in the first years, in the early 80s. I mean, I know one year at the Great North Run, we took actually a full bus, 45-seater bus, and a minibus went to the Great North Run. That's how good a turnout it was back then. I know we're getting buses like that for Ravensdown Dale now, but, you know, stopped back for a few drinks afterwards, so nothing's changed that way.
More important.
just went on from there, Corey, really.
The coach you mentioned now, sorry, what was his full name? Chris?
Right. Yeah, he was quite a character. He was a Yorkshireman, and he worked at Aycliffe Young People Centre. And he come from over there, and he was introduced by, I don't know who I actually saw him, who got in touch with him first.
He was running for Darlington when he first moved to the area. He was running with Darlow, and then he came across to us too. Well, he must have heard about us through Aycliffe School, and then he sort of he was really interested in coaching for us, like, wasn't he? And he sort of took over and influenced us all.
Yeah, he was good, but he was very. Some of his coaching methods were a bit, not the word textbook, to be honest. I mean, in the training, we do things like hopping up hills and piggyback races and wheelbarrow races and daft things like that.
But to be fair, we were fitter then than we've ever been now.
Those that didn't get injured were fitter because he was very fanatical as well, wasn't he? He was the type of guy, he would do a 10-mile run in his lunchtime at the school, then he'd come and take a session on the night and do a full session as well. So, he was a cracking runner as well as a good coach.
Yeah, he was a 220 marathon runner, wasn't he? Somewhat around about 220, I think, he was doing for a marathon.
Yeah, so I know.
He was pretty good, right?
Yeah, he did 69 minutes for the Great North Run, I know that, so he was well up there. Chris brought a lot of people on.
Mm-hmm. Just making a note there, wheelbarrow races, piggybacking. Don't be surprised.
Uphill piggybacks. So
it was all good fun.
So in terms of the training sessions themselves, what were they like? Like, what was a typical weekly training session or schedule like? Because at the moment, we've obviously got the Monday night beginners, we've got the Tuesday night, like, road type sessions, Wednesday night recovery, which is very much an informal session, and obviously the Thursday night track sessions, which Paul, Richard, Donna, and the other coaches have structured very well. But what was it back then, especially with Chris coming on board?
We used to do a whole session on a Tuesday night, followed by a little run, maybe to Darlow and back or something like that, and then.
Many a time we'd be getting into Woodham School about 10 to 9, and the caretaker was waiting to lock up. He's sort of finishing the session, wasn't he? You know, so.
Yeah. Started at 6 o'clock.
Of course, we had no lives back then. We didn't have to get home.
we used the old track down at Woodham quite a bit. I mean, we've even been on there with our headlights on to light up the track so we could run around the track on a night. It was good, like, wasn't it, John? I mean,
it was a Tuesday and Thursday session, more or less like it is now. But they were intense. They were intense sessions.
Yeah, if you weren't tough enough, like, you didn't last, did you?
I've seen many people. I always remember when Des Parker come a couple of times, and he did I think the session was like 400 meter reps on the track. And after he'd finished the session, he was thrown up in the side of the track. So, yes, that's how it was. And we used to, like Chris, we used to have, like, you used to do different things, like run down the burn and do relay sessions, didn't he? Have teams.
Yes,
up in the wooden the burn lane, do little circuits.
Around the
burn, we'd be running circuits around there and just, you know, all things, different things. Bit like what we're doing as well, really. So now,
yeah, it's just a bit more sophisticated now, isn't it? That's all. I mean, it's. I think since Dolly's come along, like, and Richard, I think since Dolly's come along and Richard and Donna have taken over, I think it's slightly more sophisticated. But
right, it is. It was good in his way because he was all on the cuff with Chris. He made things up as he went along, basically, I think. But we did it. We all followed him, what we did. So now it is, it's much more structured.
There was a lot of competition among ourselves in races and things in them days. I think it was eyeballs out all the time. We were, there was no resting, really. There was no real resting, was there? You know, it was definitely just sort of eyeballs out all the time, wasn't it?
I mean, we were younger, so we could handle it a bit better.
Yeah, a lot younger, John.
Did you have a club championship at that time then, or any inter-club competitions or anything like that?
We did later on in the year, but funnily enough, I was just looking through some stuff the other night and there was an old newsletter. I think Derek Smith used to do it. And one part of it, we had a race. I'm trying to find it where it is. And we did a race anyway. There was only five turned up on one of the club championship races. They didn't have the numbers that we have now. So we did try, but it wasn't, we didn't have like loads like we are, we're doing, you know.
Did you have the handicap that you organised, John? When did that start about?
Well, Mick Brunskill started that, and that was that about the 90s, Rob, wasn't it? Mid-90s?
Early 90s, wasn't it? I've got results from, I think I've got results from 94 somewhere. I think it'll have been in the early 90s when Mick started that off.
Yeah, I'll have them somewhere as well, little bits of results. So that started off in the, like then, the 90s. And it's been going ever since, so, you know, good to keep it going, really.
Was it always been the same route then, or have you changed the route for the handicap sometimes?
Changed it slightly because it used to go, it started through the woods opposite the complex. But it more or less went the same route round the back of the cricket club and again along the Blue Bridge. But it was more like in twisty turny. But I think they would, through the years, they decided it was a bit few many tree routes and there might have been dangerous people tripping over and things. So yeah, more or less the same though. But it was actually a little bit shorter because then when you measured the route out, I think it was measured on a mountain bike with one of them GPS things on your wheel. It got the distance, and you didn't realise how inaccurate it was until everybody had the GPSs on your watch. Then you found, it's about 100 metres short, so it's now more accurate.
Well, we used to, all our training routes were measured out in the car, weren't they? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You did a run, then went out in the car to measure how far it was. You know.
I know, we hated it when GPS come along, because you're all disappointed.
Right, bloody hell.
We thought that was 10 mile. It was only 9.3 or something like that.
Have you got any of the other original members still kicking about, involved in the club at all? Because when I was looking through the history, it was just used your two names that came up.
John mentioned Brian, my next-door neighbour, who was a member, him and Henry Bannatyne, who actually originally put the notice in the news for the meeting to sort of set the club up. I think there's only me and John and Alan Wilkes from that very beginning.
I've got a few names here, Rob. I don't know if they're there at the very beginning, but late in the last, in 84, 85, was Kevin Green or one of the early?
Kevin was an early member, wasn't he? Yeah.
I mean, Peter Milburn, I think he started about 86 because we tried to get him to join for years and he wouldn't. Peter, of all people, didn't think he was fast enough. You know, one of the fastest runners in the club. Then what about Jimmy Wilson?
was then a member from, I think he joined maybe his mid-80s.
Yeah.
He was pretty fast and all, but he was just keeping fit for his football originally.
And then obviously there's Mick Brunskill and Christine. I think they started the late 80s, wasn't it? Or 87 or something?
Yeah, 87, yeah. Julie Beckford was an early member.
Yes.
Well, yeah. What was she like as a person? And obviously she's a fantastic runner by looking at the times, but what was she like?
She was a very nice lady. I mean, nice compared to us lot.
Quite quiet, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was quite, what I'd call, in them days, I would have called quite posh. And why she was running with me on a Sunday morning, I don't know. But she was really nice, but she was really dedicated long-distance runner, really.
Yeah. And
pretty fast as well.
Yeah, she was good. She did more... I don't think she was there much on a Tuesday and a Thursday night, was she, Rob? She was more doing the weekends, long runs.
She used to organise long runs, and I couldn't get away with even having a hangover. She'd drag us out and make us do 20 miles. You know, she was she was very dedicated, I would say.
Just looking at the record, the record sheet here, a lot of successes as well, a lot of race wins, Fymore Half Marathon, and Shildon Trail, cross country, the Shildon Six. I must admit, I've never heard of the Shildon Six.
Oh, have you not? Oh, you must be too young.
Too young for that one.
Well, yeah, the Shildon Six, I've got results from that as well. Like, and
It finishes, you go up Eldon Bank at the end. That's the finish of it. Before you finished us in the stadium, where the stadium is now, out where we train. That's where the finish was. But obviously it wasn't it was a field. But yeah, just before then, you'd come up Eldon Bank, so it's a killer of a run. Did Julie win the Shildon Six? Or was it like first bet?
It would have been first bet because there were some pretty nippy women runners around in them days, wasn't there? There wasn't maybe as many lady runners, but they were very good quality. What was that girl from Shildon called?
Oh, I know who. I remember. I can't remember the name now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know who you mean, Rob. Yeah, there was good ones and Aunt Darling. There's some good Darling girls.
Yeah, some good Gallo girls in them days, wasn't there?
But we had some in the 80s as well. We had some good women. Like we had Jill Hale, who was a fell runner, wasn't she, in our club? Yeah. And she was fast. And Sid, obviously.
Sid was pretty snippy, like, wasn't she? She was. Sid winning the. I remember Sid winning the Gisborough Moors Junior race, way back in 1985. I bet it was 1980. Must have been 1985.
Well, and she was qualified as a junior at 85.
Yeah.
Right. I know she won a run across country at Alnwick, and obviously Lee Wren was a junior then. He was in one of the early members.
Yeah.
Was Lee, he? Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah.
So I'm
trying to think who else came up through the juniors.
There was like Paul Guy, but he's not a member now. Just the ones that I'm thinking of who was currently members. But yeah, Paul Guy was a good junior, And there'll be others. I can't think of them now, Rob. Yeah.
See, this is the trouble asking two old codgers coming on.
Look at the history site, and you've got them on there. Mine's gone off my laptop now. I was waiting to Rob that long to get up there and Skype.
What? After 6 o'clock, like John?
I had it all up on my laptop, the history of the club, and right, I'd be able to rhyme this off, and it's gone off.
Right.
Yeah, but I can't remember any of the juniors apart from Lee and Paul back then. Yeah.
Well, there was Chris Guy as well, of course.
Ah, yeah, his brother.
Young Chris, Paul's brother, was there, and all. They were both there. And they were doing quite well in the cross countries, weren't they?
Yes, they're both still running now, obviously with different clubs.
I've spoken to them both up at Sedgefield Park Run. Not too far back. And I think they're both running better than they've ever run. They've got better as they've got older. I mean, Paul must be 40-year-old now, I don't know.
Yeah, he does. He wins quite a few races down south where he lives. Aye, but it's Aycliffe training that started him off, though. That's
what he did. Yeah, never forget your roots. Yeah, 1994, the club won the NYSD Cross Country League, over 70 points clear of Loftus. That's quite an achievement, especially since I've been involved in the club. We're not up there competing like that anymore, but can you remember that season? Yeah,
well, Mick Bunskill was one of them, wasn't he? I think Kevin Vos as well, was he in that team, Rob?
I've got the name of the team here. Joe McCready, 9th. Ian Monkman, 15th. Mick Bunskill, 16th. Keith Langridge, 20th. Pete Milburn, 30th. Dave Askew, 36th. Graham Whitchurch, 38th. Ian Young, 58th. And Dave Mid, 70th. I've just got a cut near that with it on, mate, that's all.
We won the team event with that team then.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah.
Obviously there'll be other runners who've run over the season, but that was the final event that won the championship.
Excellent.
No, that's definitely quite an achievement. Do you remember when the first Aycliffe 10K and Fun Run was organised, or how it came about before the first race started? Because that was obviously started up in 1998. How did that come about?
I don't know. I'm not sure how it came about, you, Rob. I know we discussed it.
Yeah.
At the time, Sue was the race director, Sue Milburn. And I think she was chairwoman of the club as well. So that's how she got organised with it. And she knew the council, Andrew Bailey from the council. She got in touch with him, and it just, because there was a lot of races going on there, and that's why, because we got it from Shildon, you know, after they were running, and she sort of had a lot to do with the organising of it. So it just started from her, really.
In them days, Peter and Susan were sort of, they ran the club. I mean, they kept us going, didn't they, really? You know, it's...
I mean, especially at the time as well, in the late 90s, we had a bleak spell with members. Because on this one of these newsletters, I think it says on half yearly we had 25 fully paid up members. So when you think only 25 compared to now, where we've got 100 and whatever, yes, Sue and Peter did brilliant back then to sort of keep it together. And they're main ones that got the race going, really.
I mean, there was talk I think it must have been in the late 90s. Of amalgamating with Shildon at one time, and we sort of, in the end,
we seemed to thought about it, but it didn't happen because
we sort of backhailed it, like, and there was a few of us who just didn't want to go. To be honest, I was one of them who didn't want to go. Like, to be fair,
but then in the end, we picked up, and Shildon went. They lost a few members and they wanted to join us, didn't they? They wanted to sort of join up with us for cross countries because they couldn't get a team in.
Yeah. We were sort of struggling the same. I mean, I wasn't even doing cross countries myself in them days because I was working shifts every weekend anyway. So I think we just didn't have enough members to sort of get cross country teams going, did we?
No, just... It was strange. I mean, after the boom years of the early 80s, I think running clubs in general just took a... went downwards turn.
Yeah, it went quiet, didn't it? I think a lot of people turned to triathlons, didn't they? You know, I mean...
They did.
Some of our members, especially, went to... I mean, like Telf and Ivor and people like that, they sort of went on to do triathlons.
Yeah, they did, aye. So, but yeah, we hung in there and it kept going and it picked up.
What do you think one of the key reasons behind the pickup in members get to what it's like now with obviously over 100 members?
I think there's a new running boom come about, hasn't there, really?
There is. And
also we've changed from, because we were Newton Aycliffe Athletics Club, and I think... It was Peter and Sue who thought about changing it to make it a running club, basically a running club. Mm. And that sort of attracted people. I'm not sure whether it was Peter or Sir Pete and Sue, but I'm sure it was Peter who was.
There's only one time I ever remember doing an athletic meeting and you were there, Rob. It was a I mean, that's only, I think we did a run, then we had to do another discipline, and for some reason I ended up doing the triple jump. God knows why, with my little legs. But yeah, that was it. And yeah.
But I ended up doing the shot put. Everybody was 7 foot tall, and there's me, 3 foot six.
I think that's why we thought of disbanding the idea of the athletic club after that.
Yeah, but I've never looked back since then. Like, I mean, since I think being a running club has attracted more people.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of factors, Rob. Obviously, I mean, your beginner's sessions have brought a lot of people through. And I think also the fact that it's social media is about and everyone hears about it more. And also when parkrun started, that started the running boom again. And everybody's running. Yeah, I mean, I think you might find we might even have more after this lockdown, because I've never seen so many people running who I've never seen before.
Yeah, I know.
So
I'm embarrassed to say that I wouldn't do park runs to start with, because I thought they weren't proper races. And now I think they're the best thing since sliced bread. I think I agree. I think park runs have been the best thing for running.
Yeah. It's what you end up starting the interest again, hasn't it?
Definitely.
Very much so. Very much so. I don't think interest in running goes in cycles anyway, and it does go a bit boom and bust. But I think since parkrun really started to take off in the late 2000s, getting into 2010, numbers have really picked up again. And as you say, during lockdown, you can't move on wooden way for runners. I keep wanting to have an A-Cliff Running Club card just to hand out to them and say, come to the running club or something like that, you know, afterwards.
I've thought of that myself in the past, but it's a bit embarrassing if you see a lady runner and go and give her a card or something like that.
Chris White used to do it wrong.
True, John.
And you accost people on the street and give them the running club card. The reason for that was he also, after he left us from the, he wasn't chairman of the running club for us, when he packed in coaching, he started a magazine, Northern Runner. And I think a lot of it was, he was getting people in as well to sell his magazine.
Do you think the 2012 London Olympics had any impact on the club in terms of participation numbers? Because I remember, trying to think, 2012, I was finishing school, so don't want to make you feel that old.
Jeez,
yeah, I was finishing secondary school, and I remember doing, my dad took me along to Sedgefield Park Run for the first time. I tried it out. It was December, to be fair, but it's because there wasn't many numbers. But I was thinking, the concept's brilliant, but there's not many numbers here. Then I didn't do any until I think it was 2016. So like 4 years later, 200 people turning up. I thought, what's going on here? Absolutely amazing. And then it was only like a year later, I joined a different running club. And then obviously ended up with you guys. But ever since I've joined, I've seen the numbers increase on a monthly basis. Just seen new people join the club every month. And I think it's absolutely fantastic. So yeah, do you think, going back to the original question, do you think the London Olympics had an impact on the club?
It's a difficult one. Whether it was the Olympics or whether it was, I think John's right. I think the park runs have been the biggest influence. The Olympics, I think the Olympics sort of boost things, don't they? Because people take an interest in when the Olympics come around more than anything else.
But I think the Olympics does influence some people, but I think with others who are just maybe recreational runners, they might be put off. They think it's a running club is for the elite runners. I think parkrun more than London Marathon is what really gets, because any ability you can come and start the club.
Yeah, definitely.
I think when you see the parkrun results as well, and it sees that, you know, that their clubs are on the results as well, and people can see, you know, yeah, you might have a 17-minute runner, but you might have a 40-minute runner. They're all members of clubs. It gives them, you know, a bit more confidence to maybe go along to a club or something like that. Just demonstrates for everyone rather than just a select few, you know.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I don't really have anything else to ask you guys because you've covered so much in about half an hour we've been on. Paul, I don't know about you. Have you got anything else to add?
No, not really. I just, I think it's just pleasing to see the club is in such a healthy position now compared to maybe those late 90s where you said they had about 25 members and maybe struggled through. But now I think we're up to about 120 members or something at the last count, which I think is absolutely fantastic. So no, I'm just really glad that the club's continuing as it is. I think it's great.
John, have you got anything to add?
I'll just say as well that we've never ever had as many female members as what we have now, because when we started off, there was very few. Are we off?
No, we're still here.
We're still here. All right.
Talk yourself, man.
We sound so professional, don't we? It's great.
I thought everyone had gone to sleep and gone home.
We are
thing on you.
Yeah, what you were saying, John, about the female participation.
Yeah, we've never had so many. And, you know, it's a female running boom. Because in the 80s, it was probably 1 in 10, if that, were women runners in races. So it's a big turnaround now. There's probably more women than what there is men. Probably more in our club anyway. So, which is a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that's definitely going to be, it's definitely a topic for hopefully a future podcast. So something we'll look into as well. Rob, have you got anything else to add?
Well, I'd just like to say that I think we've got to look at from the chair and the people in the background as well, who Anne and Alan, who are doing a fantastic job. We've had good captains in the past, but we've got an exceptional pair of captains now in Richard and Donny, who have who've taken it on themselves to do the coaching as well, which I think is a fantastic thing for them to do. Like, you know, I mean, it's bad enough having to do the captain's job on its own, but they've took it really on board to do the coaching. And now that I hate to mention Dolly again, like, but he does a fantastic job. And I hope that's read with embarrassment there.
Yeah. Also, don't forget Kevin Greenall works behind the scenes on the membership. You know, a lot of people don't know what he does. Well, he tells us he works hard anyway, so it must be.
I'm not letting me get away with that, John.
I am wrong. He won't listen, Rob, man. He won't be able to get on the Skype. He's like us.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is a miracle that I've got on, so.
Yeah, we got there eventually. I won't say how long it took, but we got there.
Cheers, Corey.
No, I want to thank you guys for coming on. It's been absolutely brilliant. I've definitely learned a lot about the club. I don't know about you, Paul.
No.
Yeah, especially hearing about some of the people who were involved, still involved, and people play big parts in it, and how the club nearly joined the Shield, and that's I've never heard about anything like that before. So if anyone else wants to get involved, just drop me a message on Facebook or an email, which I'll put on our Facebook page. And again, if you want any topics that you want to be involved in, then just please give us a shout. Thank you very much for listening. Cheers.
Thanks very much. Cheers, guys.